At times, we do break God's laws, and that breaking of God's law does bring consequences and which show up in various health problems that we have. It's not always the case, but that's one reason why sickness does occur. We've seen that sickness is a trial like other trials, and we've probably all been sick at times, injured, or whatever it may be, and it just seems like it goes on and on and on. And when's this going to stop? I know earlier this year I was having sniffles, and every day this flood would start with the sniffles and everything, and I thought, why, and how long is this going to go? Well, it eventually quit, but you know, there's a point in the process where you think, is this going to quit? And it's awfully irritating, but it is part of life, unfortunately. We also learned that healing is simply God's miraculous answer to prayer for relief. So if you are sick and you call the elders to anoint you, you're anointed and God is merciful to you, then you might be healed. God can heal you right away. God can allow it to go on for a while. He has his purpose and all of that, which we will discuss more as we go through the sermon. Healing then has no special connection to Christ's beating in any way than any other, different from any other type of answered prayer. I know that the church used to believe that it had to do specifically with his suffering and being beaten as part of his death, but we've seen that it's all one sacrifice, and you can't separate it out. And the entire sacrifice is something that allows us to be able to go before God and make our petition and request for healing. Finally, healing doesn't entail any complicated or unusual theological process. It's not that tough. So if you are falling down a well and it comes to your mind, maybe I should ask for God's intervention, that is an appropriate action to take, and it's not a special thing. You cry out to God and ask if he would mercifully be with you, but if you are sick and you are a place where you are near a phone or you can contact an elder, you can ask that they would anoint you or send you an anointed cloth. So there, as you think, well, you covered everything. What else is there to cover? Well, you'll see there are some other things. And so we wanted to take the time today to cover those things. And so the sermon today will explore some other questions that come up in regard to healing. And so the title of the second sermon is Health and Healing Part 2. So the first question we want to ask is this: has God bound himself to an absolute promise to heal everyone every time? Has God made an absolute promise that he will heal everyone who calls upon him every time? You know, it's just a promise, and all you have to do is call on him, and it's a sure thing that he will heal you. Well, you could draw that conclusion from a couple of different verses, which we'll now look at. The first one is James chapter 5, verse 14. And this is a fundamental scripture about the subject of anointing and healing. And it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So it clearly says that if we're sick, call upon the elders, and the elders will anoint you and pray over you. And it says that the prayer of faith will save the sick. And it says that through that, then you can rise up from that sickness, and it seems to be an absolute promise. And some people see it this way. But is that the best way to interpret what's said there? And does that help you to fully understand the subject? A second point is found in Psalm 103, verse 3. Psalm 103, verse 3. And this verse is in the midst of verses that talk about God's benefits, and this is one of God's benefits. In Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. So again, that seems to say that, you know, God can heal you of your diseases, and he will. And it's an absolute promise. And Is that an accurate way to interpret that? But as you look at the subject of healing and you look at these verses, it's not that simple of a situation, that these are absolute promises to bring about healing every single time, of every disease, every time. And that's, as we'll see, that's not the case. The Bible shows many cases where the righteous became ill and were not healed. You know, all you have to do is look at Isaac and Jacob. They were well thought of by God, but they got sick, and they eventually died. Elijah got sick and died. The Apostle Paul was a very faithful man, and he called on God three different times to ask God to heal him. And God said, no, my grace is in all you need. That's all I'm going to give you. And so he said, guess what? I'm going to suffer this probably till the end of my life. And God did not intervene and heal him. We don't know exactly what the problem was. It's been speculated that maybe he had some eyesight issues, but God didn't heal him. So to say that God always heals every true Christian simply contradicts the Word of God and our own personal experience. So it can seem to us that God absolutely bound himself to heal the righteous every single time, based on these two verses that we've looked at. But what we want to look at now is just address this in a little bit different way. And we're going to look at it in the sense, is healing a promise from God or merely a blessing God only sometimes gives? You know, is it something that God takes care of every time, or is it something that God does in his own good time and in his own way? It's you can count on this, that it's not merely a whim. It's not a whim. It's something that God very thoughtfully exercises if he chooses to intervene and heal you, or he chooses to allow something to go on, and he thinks it through very carefully. And the main thing that God's looking at is not your being whole, made whole physically, while he doesn't enjoy your being sick. He has a bigger goal in mind in dealing with you and me. As you think about the answer to the question we just asked about a promise or a blessing, healing is both a promise and a blessing. It's a promise and a blessing. Bestowed by God in his good judgment, as I said, it's not some whimsical thing with God. When one asks whether healing is a promise or a blessing, it starts the questioner down the erroneous path of reasoning. And why is that? Well, because the question presumes certain false concepts about the nature of God's promises and blessings. For example, it assumes that blessings and promises are opposite things. And they're not. To help us in our understanding, let's think about promises for a moment. Any promise, whether God's or not, is simply an oral or written agreement to do or not do something. It's a promise. Yeah, I'll take you to the zoo, and you've made a promise. I promise that I will take you to the zoo tomorrow. That is a promise. But a promise may either be conditional or unconditional. If it's unconditional, I'm taking you to the zoo no matter what. You know, if you're talking to a child, no matter what you do, I'm taking you to the zoo. That would be unconditional. Conditional would be, if you're a good boy, then I'll take you to the zoo. So, okay, pressure's on. I got to be a good boy. Then I'll be able to go to the zoo. So conditional means there are certain conditions that go along with the promise. An unconditional promise is that God is going to fulfill it, or whoever is going to fulfill it, and there are no restrictions. There are very few truly unconditional promises in the Bible. One that we are well aware of is God said, I will call everyone at some time or other and give them the opportunity for salvation. That is an unconditional promise. God has promised that, and he's going to give everybody that opportunity. So that's something that God has promised. That's a sure promise, and there are no conditions to it. The question is when. The question is when. So, but you can count on the fact that God will call everyone at some point along the way. Some have said that God's healing promises are absolute. That means that you can count on them. There will never be any deviation from that, and God will heal you. That's what he's promised to do, so he'll do it. And certainly God has not promised to heal everybody every single time. We know that because if you've sought to be healed and you've been anointed, sometimes you don't get better. Or it takes a while before it gets better. Now God could heal you. He has the power to do so, but God makes that decision. So to state that the promise of healing is absolute is not accurate, and unfortunately is an expectation that many people in the church, when they look at the scriptures we've examined, it leads to that conclusion. So these are not absolute promises. Can God heal you? Yes. But it's a decision that God makes whether he will or not. So one of the conditions for healing is that of faith. For instance, you look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, and Christ promised to heal if and only if the man had faith. So he wasn't going to heal the man unless he had faith. But as you look at other scriptures, you find out that faith wasn't required, that God did not demand that they have faith. Now, does that mean you don't have to have faith? It depends on the situation and the person involved. So healing is something that God can do, but faith is something that is required, especially for Christians. For many other people, God may have a bigger picture that he has in mind, and he's not going to demand that the people be faithful. For instance, when Christ would heal the people, when he was speaking to a crowd, and then he would heal people in that crowd, how many of them had faith? Some did, some didn't. But Christ did heal them, and he had the power to heal them. You go through and look at Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John were going into the temple, and they walk by this fellow that's sitting there, and he asks for money. You know, he wants a donation. And Peter said, "We don't have any money, but what I have, I will give you." And so Peter asked God to heal the man, and the man is healed. But he didn't want to be healed. He wanted money. I'm sure he was happy afterward, but that's not what he was after when he spoke to Peter and John. Another reason that spiritual faith has not always been required for God to heal is the truth that Christ healed, as I said, the unconverted masses. And God can still heal those who are unconverted. That's not a criteria necessarily. That's a lesson that we learned where we used to just anoint people and pray over people that were a part of the church. And we didn't realize, you know, God's going to let, we can anoint them, we can pray for them, and they may not be a part of the church, but they're people who are asking for God to mercifully intervene. And, you know, we've learned, hey, pray for them, anoint them, and leave it in God's hands from there. And as you look at the subject of healing, especially as you think about James chapter 5, it says there, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So for somebody that is a Christian and understands, then faith in God is an essential thing. And God may not look at that so much when you're first coming into the church. Before you've been in the church for a while, he may not say, "I'm looking for this." And God may heal you, especially as you're coming along in the faith, as an encouragement. And then as you go along in the faith and you grow and you mature, and then you cry out to God for his intervention and healing, God may say, "Well, where you're at in your Christian journey, I'm not going to intervene and heal you right now. I'm going to let you suffer for a bit because it's going to be in your best interest. So faith is not the only condition for healing. A second obvious condition is obedience to God's law. For instance, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. There it says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So we can cry out to God for whatever it may be, for healing or God's intervention or God's blessing, whatever it may be. And God said that whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. So that seems to be, that is true. And still we have to ask, as you look at that scripture, whether God has bound himself to heal everyone who has faith and obeys. Is God going to answer the prayer not only for healing, but whatever you want? As it says, that whatever we ask of, we receive of from him. Okay, and that's true. God can answer any prayer, but there are other things that you have to consider in God answering that prayer. Another point that we have to keep in mind. Are there other conditions that we have to keep in mind when it comes to health and healing? There is one more. And it's not just coupled to healing, but to all answered prayer and relief from any trial. And that is, God heals upon the condition that such healing is good for you. That it's good for you in terms of your overall master plan, in his overall master plan for your life. So what God does when you request that he would intervene on your behalf or heal you of a particular ailment, what God looks at is you, your particular condition, and where you're at on your journey toward being a part of his family. And God can certainly intervene and heal you. God can answer your prayer. But God is going to say, if I answer this prayer and I heal him, or I answer it in the way that this person wants, is it going to be good for them in the long run? Is it going to contribute toward their growing and maturing and becoming a part of my family? And sometimes God says, you need to wait, or I'm not going to heal you at all. Because God's interest is in our being in his family more than anything else. Because that's the big purpose that God's working out, is to help you to grow and mature and be readied for eternal life. And to allow you to live forever in the flesh isn't the point. That's not what he wants. He wants you to live forever in his family as a spirit being. But he also wants you to grow in certain ways that prepares you for that. So there are things we learn through the trials and setbacks and difficulties that we face that we wouldn't learn any other way. And sometimes suffering physically helps us in that process. It's not that God doesn't care, but God's more interested in you ending up in the final result, which is to have eternal life. So God's purpose for us is to give us eternal life as part of his family in the kingdom of God. And the key thing is, what is God's will? You know, you think about it in relationship to Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ was captured, he was interrogated, he was beaten, and ultimately crucified. And Christ knew that this was going to be a bad experience. And what did he do? He went before God's throne and he said, God, is there another way that we can work this out? So if anybody's going to listen to Jesus Christ, it would be the Father. The Father heard the prayer and the Father said, I hear you, but that's not my will. There's something bigger that's going on here and I'm not going to intervene and work this out a different way. This is the way it has to be. There has to be the price of sin paid for by the death of your very death, and so that's what we're going to go through with. And yes, it's not pleasant. It's going to be horrible what you're going to go through. But the outcome is going to give every human being that's ever lived the opportunity to be forgiven of their sins, reconciled to God, and to be able to live forever in God's family. So God, with his own son, said, I'm not going to intervene. Could he have? Sure he could have. But he said, this is the best way to accomplish that. And when God looks at your situation and sees the challenges that you're going through in whatever trial you're facing, he said, well, I can relieve you of this. I can heal you. I can help you get that job that you want. I can give you the opportunity to marry that girl or that guy. I can do all of those things. I can help those things to work out. But what's the bigger picture, and what's going to be in your best interest in the long run? And that's how God operates. And God said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, with Jesus Christ himself, in Hebrews chapter 2, he's talking about Christ and what he went through in suffering. And what does he say? In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it states that Christ went through all of this to become perfect through sufferings. So there were things that Jesus Christ learned through going through the experience of suffering. And he was God, but he had not been a flesh and blood human being. And God said there are certain things that you can learn through this fleshly experience that are going to make you a better high priest, a better servant to human beings, because you're going to understand them more completely. So the purpose of suffering is to build character. And we have to remember that every prayer we pray for help in time of need is based upon God's will and his overall view of what is in our ultimate best interest. And our best interest may be a certain view of the situation, but God sees it differently. God sees it differently. And when it comes to sickness and disease and healing, we tend to forget these things. We think the only positive outcome is my healing. That's what's in my best interest. If you're like me, that's how I look at it. My best interest is to be healed and made whole. But that may not be the way that God looks at it. God says, you know, it's going to be good for you to go through whatever. I mean, if I was making the choice, would I have gone through a stroke a year ago? I would have preferred to avoid that. It wasn't that it was painful, but there are certain lasting effects of that. But God said, this is going to be good for you. And I'm like, okay, so so you have to look at it in the sense that God knows what's best. And so for you to go through this, then in the long run, it's going to be in your best interest. Now, my short-term interest, as I said, is let's not do this. And God said, no, we need to do this. So we all face these kinds of things that we have to deal with and trust that God knows what he's doing. And so we, in essence, we trust God, and God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He's sovereign over everything. And so one of the fundamentals of faith is we believe God knows what he's doing, and in his actions or inactions, it's all toward his ultimate goal of my being a part of his family. So as you think about these things, and you think about those scriptures that seem to indicate that God will heal each one of us every single time, we have to realize that's not the case. And it's not that God doesn't care. It's not that God didn't hear our prayer. It's that God has chosen, for whatever reason, not to intervene at this particular time. Should we continue to pray and ask God for his intervention? Absolutely. But you have to trust that God is going to act in your best interest. And, you know, it's a hard thing to do that. I know that people expect that God would, when you lose a family member, a child, or a husband or wife, or a father or mother, that's tough. That's a tough thing. Could God have healed them? He certainly could have. But God says, I want to see how you're going to deal with this if I don't bring about healing. And trust that God has our best interest at heart. And so it's not easy, some of those things that we have to go through. But we can trust that God is going to act in our best interest. A question that arises regarding faith and healing is this: if God has not bound himself to heal every sick Christian every time, then how can we have faith that he will heal us now that we're sick? So you're saying, well, if God won't heal me every time, then how can I put faith in him that he's going to act in my best interest? Others have asked why God would allow some to suffer so horribly from severe illness. You know, part of that answer is found in the book of Job. God knew everything that was going on with Job. God knew all about Job, and Job was a fine person in many ways. And God basically said to Satan, whose whole goal and purpose in life is to trip up human beings and cause life to be miserable. And so God says, where have you been, Satan? I've been walking to and fro on the earth, wreaking my havoc to and fro in the earth. So God said, well, have you noticed my servant Job? Oops. So he points Job out, and so he says, well, look, Job only worships you and honors you because you've blessed him. And if you take away those blessings, he'll curse you to his face. That's Satan's mentality. So what did God do? He said, well, you can take all of those things that I've given to Job and take them all away, and you can test him, but don't touch him physically. So his kids went, all of his wealth went, all of it went. So Job's there, nothing left. And like he said, I brought nothing into the world, I'm not going to take anything out. So he was pretty stripped, pretty bare at that point, but he still honored God. He didn't just said, well, God, that's just too much, I can't take it, and say, I'm done with you, God. No, he still was faithful to God. God allowed all that those things to be taken away. And then Satan said, well, look, you know, you're still protecting him, you're putting a hedge around him, and you know, if he gets sick and suffers misery with sickness or whatever it is, then it'll be so bad he'll curse you to his face. So then God said, okay, you can, you know, you've taken all the things and the blessings that I've given to him away, so now you can attack him health-wise, but you can't kill him. So God allowed that to come on Job. And Job didn't enjoy it. And if you go through, it's always amazed me that as you look at Job and his experience, he has a pretty bad attitude at times. Some of the things he said, I thought, well, I'm amazed that God didn't zap him. Okay, that's it. You've gone too far, Job. And Job said some pretty rude and, disrespectful things. But he always looked to God. He never, ever abandoned God. And God was willing to take it because he knew this was a tough experience for Job. So was God against Job? He wasn't. You can read that into it. It may seem like it. But God's purpose, again, just like with every one of us, is that at the end of the day, we go through the trial. The goal is that we would pass the trial, we would meet the test, and we would continue to be faithful to God no matter how bad it is. So Job always went to God. Job always kept a focus on God. He never abandoned God. And he couldn't see it. I mean, you know, when you look at Job, it's like a bird's eye view of what's going on. You can see it, but he can't. He can't see that God has a great purpose in what he's working out with him. He couldn't see it. And all he could see is how badly he was suffering. So then finally God intervened and he said, look, there are things you need to learn, and that is, I'm the Almighty, the all-powerful God, and you need to recognize that. And he wanted his day in court. And when God finally said, okay, let's do it, let's go to court, you can present your case, and God basically put on a display for him of his might and his power, and Job recognized, I'm pretty small in this picture, and I don't want to be presumptuous. And he backed off and basically said that he had gone too far, and all of this worked out to his betterment at the end. And then God, again, poured out his blessings on him. But he had to go through a trial, and he certainly never saw that at the end of this, God would restore his blessings. He didn't see that God was going to heal him. He didn't see any of those things. It took time for that to eventually be made clear. But he came to see that God is sovereign, and the way God chooses to work things out is the best way. It is the best way. So we may say, well, I want this trial to end, and I want to move on. And God may say, no, I don't want to stop the trial right now. So let's say that God answers your prayer and stops the trial. If he stopped it too early, you may miss out on some opportunities to learn some things. But if it continues, you may learn those things. And so God's going to act in your best interest. He's not going to act in a way that wouldn't be helpful to you. So as you think of the subject of faith, basically it comes down to our belief that God has the power to heal, God has the power to make us whole in that particular subject, or God has the ability to eliminate any issue we're facing. And God wants to see that we will be faithful no matter how hard the trial gets. And that then, and it may, and some trials are very hard for us. But we trust that God has our long-term interest at heart, and he will allow us to suffer at times, and he's doing it for a reason. He's doing it for a reason, in order to help us to grow and mature and develop that faith that he wants, that will not waver. So we are to have an utter trust in God, and to believe in God that he's going to see us through and help us with whatever trials and difficulties that we face. So to ask the question, how can I have faith that God will heal me now that I'm sick, when he hasn't promised to heal everyone every time? Why would you continue to have faith? He hasn't promised to heal us every time. He might heal us. But you look at Paul as an example. You look at Job as an example. They knew that God was the one who could heal them. Paul knew that as well. And he also knew that if God decided he wouldn't heal him, he still had a relationship with God, and he still had the potential of being a part of his family forever. That didn't change. And that's what God wants to see from you and me. And God puts us through these things in order to find out certain things about where we stand with him. You know, probably as I've said before, one of the greatest, most amazing challenges that we see in the scriptures is when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. Now, if you have a child, I don't think any of us would want to go down that path. And God doesn't ask us to sacrifice our children. And God did ask Abraham to do that, but why? Because the most precious thing in Abraham's life was Isaac. So God had to challenge him on that particular issue, but he didn't want Isaac. He didn't want him as a sacrifice. He didn't want Abraham to sacrifice him. But he wanted to see something about Abraham that he could only learn through that process. So God wanted Abraham's heart, and he wanted his allegiance to where he would put God first. And so Abraham did. And when he was ready to sacrifice his son, God said, okay, hold on. I don't want that. And he provided a sacrifice, and he did not want Isaac. So as we go through these trials that we go through in life, and we pray for God's mercy and intervention in faith, trusting that God can intervene and can heal us or whatever it may be, we trust that God will act in the way that is best for us. So if we may want to be healed, or we may want to be blessed in some way, but we trust that God will act in our best interest and not. And we trust that whatever the outcome is going to be, that it's going to be in our long-term best interest. So we are told to go before God, and we trust that God will intervene when it's necessary. And so as I started this subject and talked about sacrifice for sin and the fact that we can go before God and ask for his intervention through anointing, and that it seems like the older generation takes advantage of this more than the younger, I would, you know, just think that it would be wise, if you're sick, call upon the elders. Ask God to intervene. Ask an elder to anoint you. And God said that we can make our petition to God, and then it's in God's hands from there on. But it's something that God gives us and tells us to do. If you're sick, call upon the elder or the elders and ask for God's intervention in your situation. And the elder will pray over you, anoint you with oil, pray over you, and ask for God's intervention. So God has opened the way to his throne room, and you go before him, and you're anointed, and so you place the petition before God, and you are trusting that God will consider your petition. And so now the ball's in God's court. Will he answer? Will he not? That's up to God. And we've tended to follow the example of the Apostle Paul, who went to God three different times and asked for God to intervene, and God didn't. So we've considered that, well, if God doesn't answer in a reasonable amount of time, you can go before God again and ask for his intervention. Or if whatever you're facing physically changes, you can go before God and again ask God for his intervention to help you to be healed and to be made whole. So a Christian must face this challenge, and let's say that you don't live close to an elder. What do you do then? Well, they have something called anointed cloths, which you see in the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul was not able to anoint, but he would send out these cloths to people, and they would serve as an anointing. So we send you an anointed cloth if we're not able to come, or it's too far, or whatever it may be. But once you make the call to the elder and ask for anointing, and he says, well, I can't come, or you recognize it's too far, then you have placed the matter into God's hand. He will anoint the cloth, pray for you, and the cloth will go in the mail. And the minute that you ask for God's anointing, you've already placed the matter in God's hands. So it's in God's hands, and it's something that you can count on. But I would encourage you to take to heart what the scriptures tell you, to go ahead and put the matter into God's hands and trust that God will hear your prayer and the prayer of faith that's given by the elder, and that God would take the matter into your hands and intervene right away, or it may be some time, but God will take the matter into his consideration. It's like anything that you petition God on, God hears, and God will react in the time that is best for you. So I hope that helps you understand the subject of healing, and that God does heal. He has healed. We've seen throughout our lives the God's intervention in people's lives, and unfortunately, it's not in every case. But if you're sick, call upon God and give him the opportunity to answer your prayer of faith. And God is the one who can heal us, has healed us, and hopefully you'll take advantage of that. So I felt that based upon some input that we received, that it would be a good subject to cover, so we've gone through that subject, and hopefully it's clear in your minds. And if you have any further questions on the subject, please let me know.